Hey there, magical people.
I'm Becky.
And I'm Lillian.
And we're the Magical Sisterly Taurus.
We love to talk all things Disney travel and beyond.
So get ready for tons of fun, laughter, and plenty of pixie dust.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Magical Sisterly Taurus. I'm Becky.
And I'm Lillian.
So we're going to get started with some Disney news at the top of our segment. And we have talked before about the test track closing, and we have an official closing date. So as of June 17th, test track will be closing, and they are telling us it's going to be closed for about a year. And we saw some inspiration images of what test track will look like when it's refurbished. So we're looking
at...
It's very excited. Fully enclosed, as we were hoping for. So that will eliminate a lot of, let's hope, a lot of the times that it has been closed due to inclement weather. We will no longer have to worry about that. And they're getting inspiration from World of Motion, which was also, I believe, a Chevy-inspired ride that they had. So they're kind of combining that with Test Track. And those are really all the details we have so far. I'm sure as things ramp up and they get going, we'll get some more teasers on that.
Very exciting. It's, we mentioned how much a revamp was necessary and needed for this ride. So I'm excited. The pictures look really promising. So I hope they kind of stick with that because it looks pretty fun. So,
and
then they're expanding Magic Kingdom, right?
Yes, we've got some park expansion going on. There's, it's all talks right now, but we did hear that there has been some official paperwork filed for an expansion in the area beyond Big Thunder. Yeah.
Oh, they talked about a villain's land or something like that, right?
Yeah, there's lots of speculation going on as to what it's going to be. Disney hasn't shared their actual plans, but with the new cruise ship coming with the villains and a lot of villains merch and some more focus on that, there's been a huge push to have a villains area.
That would be incredible.
Yeah, that would be really fun.
And there was something mentioned about a casita, like the casita from Encanto, but like nothing solid, because there was also depictions of the casita in the new expansion of Animal Kingdom. So why would they do two?
Right.
So I, they were
South America. They were
with,
talking about South America's in the dinosaur area.
Yeah.
Of that.
I think they worded it as the tropical Americas or something like that. Cause I think it encompassed like Mexico as well. Like, I think it was like the subtropical areas or something. I'm not sure, but I thought they should, like, if they're going to redo rides and stuff, like, I love the Three Caballeros, but turn that into Coco.
Yeah.
Or like do a Coco overlay there. Like, it's Mexico. Hello.
Yeah. They've really, when you first go into the Mexico pavilion, they have had a lot of Coco stuff in that first area, but hasn't really gone beyond that. So we'll see what happens. But there was a lot of talk of general park expansion over the last few weeks, and especially with the shareholder meetings that have happened, or this last week. Things have kind of come to light that were only rumors in the past.
Right.
So once you tell the shareholders, then you're kind of obligated to see it through.
Yeah, true. Very true.
So just this week, they announced some new DAS rules. We're still getting clarification as to what those are. And for those listeners that don't know, that's the Disability Access System. I believe that's what it stands for.
Or service, I think.
Yes.
Maybe. Yeah.
So some things we do know for sure is that applicants are going to need to complete an online application and do a virtual interview with someone. There's rumors that doctors may be kind of involved to ask questions about the disability and what accommodations need to be made.
Yeah, something like Alliant Health or something may be patched into a call if there are questions about a condition, I suppose. But I don't think they can still ask specifics about conditions. I think that's still true.
I think it's more how the condition causes you to react in a situation, you know, when you're in a line. And the Disney website is providing more ideas of how people can cope when they're waiting in line. It's likely that they're going to be stricter with qualifications. I did hear some rumors about adding something to the system so that you can leave for a bathroom break and still maintain your position in line, because that's something that a lot of people struggle with. But none of those details have been announced yet. And because it doesn't go in effect at Disney World until May 20th, we're probably not going to have a lot of questions answered until some people have actually used the system.
Because they don't want to come out and say, so they've said neurological developmental issues or something like that are basically, it sounds like, the only things that qualify now for a traditional, like what people had used for DAS in the past, which excludes a lot of people that had been using it for other conditions. But I also think that there's room for interpretation because they have always been purposefully vague on like not listing conditions that are covered because people are always trying to cheat the system, which is the whole reason why they're updating it now. And if they give a list of conditions, like you'll be covered if you have this, 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 and this, people will be like, okay, how do I pretend to have this? Or, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, it just gives scammers more of an opportunity to try to scam the system. And unfortunately, that is what happens a lot of the time. So, yes.
And I think it will require some pre-planning of people that in the past have just gone in and said, oh, I'll just go in and talk to guest services and I'll get it taken care of that day. I think that's going to be a little bit, may potentially be a little bit trickier. And they're really encouraging people to do it ahead of time.
Yeah, I know in the message boards, it felt like a majority of the people would tell people, just go and do it in person. It's so much faster. It's so much faster. And now they're not going to be able to do that anymore. Or if they do, wait until the day, I have a feeling it's not going to be any faster than doing it ahead of time, if not even slower, because they'll be taking away from their actual park time. So it's up in the air, but a lot of people are trying to give out information and there's just not a lot of information on it yet. I'm wary of saying this is how it is because we don't know. And also, even if they have said specific things already, it's not in effect until May 20th. So literally anything can change between now and then. I believe the reason why they're still not requiring doctor's notes or specific diagnoses is that there is apparently a lawsuit in the courts with another theme park over requiring doctor's notes and specific diagnoses. And so I think Disney is playing it smart and waiting to see how that turns out. And then they might change some things based on the verdict, or they might not. But I have a feeling that that's why that's not included as of right now.
Yeah, you get into some potential HIPAA issues and things like that.
Yeah. Okay. But again, I'm not a lawyer and I'm certainly not a disability expert. So I don't know all of the laws around it. I wouldn't.
Right.
I wouldn't venture a guess.
Yes. Yes. So in other news, they announced a new name for the Walt Disney Studios park in Disneyland Paris. And that is now going to be referred to as Disney Adventureland or Disney Adventure World. So I'm not sure. I haven't been to that park. My husband, I believe, he's been to Disneyland Paris. I don't know if that park was there at the time that he went.
To be honest, I didn't know there was a second park at Disneyland Paris. Is it just two?
I don't know.
I don't know a lot about Disneyland Paris. I know that it used to be called in the 90s when it first came out, Euro Disney. And do you remember that?
Vaguely. Travis was there, I believe, in 99. So it's been a while.
I wonder if it was Disneyland Paris at the time or if it was still Euro Disney. Oh, it was. Okay. Yeah, I don't think it was Euro Disney for very long. Maybe someday we'll do a full episode on Disneyland Paris.
Maybe when we go there.
Ooh la la. Yes, please.
Yes.
I didn't even mean to sound French when I did that.
And one thing we were really excited about this week was the AP Lounge announcement.
Yes.
That they're beginning May 1st, I think.
Yes, I think so.
So that is going to be in Epcot in the old Marrakesh restaurant.
which we were just talking about the other day and how much we love that area. So I'm so excited.
Yeah. So we were talking about like what a chill space it is and how nice it is to relax there. And now we have another location to relax in.
Yay.
Yay. So it's just a place to like chill out, get some AC. There's complimentary snacks and water. There'll be charging stations and complimentary pass holder buttons. And then there was also other marketing around a pass holder magnet. I just don't know if it will be picked up in this location. It sounds like they'll have buttons in this location.
Yeah.
And possible character visits.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I feel like we should frequent it and just like see if there are characters in there every time we walk by.
Yeah.
Or anytime we could just take the monorail over, be like, let's pop into the lounge and then pop out. No characters. Okay.
Yes. Just remember, if you're looking for it, when you get to Morocco at Epcot in the World Showcase, you have to walk deep back behind like all the market shops and things like that. And that's where the location will be. So it's definitely off the beaten path. You
yes.
really have to go deep in and look for it, which is a great area.
Yeah, it is. It is. I wonder if there will be signage.
Usually, but they don't, it's usually not like in your face signage.
Right. Because it doesn't apply to everyone.
Yeah, you have to know what you're looking for. And then the last thing on our list are the new shops around Tiana's Bayou. It looks like they're opening soon. They've uncovered the signs for those shops. So at Disney World, it's going to be Critter Co-op, which will be in the former Briar Patch location. And they're going to have headwear, apparel, toys, and more. Tiana's Bayou General Store is going to be at the ride exit. Mm-hmm. And that is the former Splashdown Gifts. They'll have apparel, accessories, home decor, ride photos, and more. And then in Disneyland, the shops are a little bit different. It's Ray's Berets, and that's where they will have the headwear, apparel, toys, and more. And then Louie's Critter Club is having more of the apparel and home decor and accessories.
Cute.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see that when we go in May.
Yes. And hopefully maybe we'll have a ride too. That would be exciting.
That'll be so exciting. And if not then the next month when I
yes
return at the end of June.
We are excited today. I gave myself a little bit of a challenge and I was like, okay, I see a lot on the different Disney pages that we're on social media about, you know, how much is it really going to cost me to take my family to Disney? So I was like, okay, I've been to a lot of hotels in the area. Some on property, some off property, some really nice, and some that not are, you know, kind of like bottom, but I still felt safe and that they were clean. So knowing that, I did a little bit of workup. Now, right now, the parks are offering a 4-park magic ticket, and that is 4 days. You get to go to one park every day. You can't repeat any parks. So if you're just going, you want to give your family a taste of Disney, this is the way to do it. And the dates that I base this package off of are from September 15th to 19th. That's at the tail end of when this package is valid. Now, this is all based on a family of four, and I'm going to give you a couple of off-property options as well as on-property options.
And that family of four, is that two adults and two children?
Two adults, two children, and those children would be the child price. So two children under 9.
Between the ages of 3 and 9. Cool. I just wanted
technically,
to clarify.
I did a 3 and a 5-year-old. Perfect. We want to get technical about it.
Lionel and someone else.
Someone else, yeah. And so I think I mentioned this, but the dates I based this off of were a Sunday through a Thursday. They happened to be when I looked at on property. These room rates were around $100 a night. And then I was able to find some pretty inexpensive hotels at places that I recommend to people. So the lowest package I found, the total was $26.98. Okay. And this was based off of the Rosen Inn International, which was about $73 a night. It might have been a little bit. I was first basing it in March. But anyway, with any fees and everything else, it is $396 for your room cost. So
that's
it's
not bad.
Not bad. It's a basic motel room, but it's clean. It's safe. They have a regular refrigerator, like a regular mini dorm fridge and a microwave in the room. So that
good.
makes it nice. The Rosen Company is a good company. I feel good about frequenting them. They treat their staff really well. I heard the owner speak at a conference that I went to once, and he really values the families that work for him. So I always feel good about staying there. His customer service there is always really great. It's an older hotel, very 1960s motel style, but they are kept up nice. There is a pool, but you know, it definitely is going to feel dated. And then they have much nicer. Yeah. Based on that price. And then they have much nicer resorts too. So if you see their name, you can usually feel pretty good about staying with them. So I did tack on groceries. So I based about $70 on groceries, thinking that you could have breakfast in the room. You have that refrigerator. So get cereal and milk, some bananas, oranges, get some snacks and drinks that you can bring into the park with you. And that's going to save on your meal cost a little bit. And because you don't have a full kitchen, I budgeted 2 quick service meals in the park. So an average quick service meal for an adult is $18. You can save about $5 if you decide that you're going to bring in water bottle and just continuously refill it in the park.
Do have those water refill stations. So don't feel like you need to buy a bottle of water every half hour. You can refill your bottles there.
Yeah, we've had lots of trips where we've had water bottles, and I've had like the sleeves that they go on. We'd like clip them to our belt or clip them to our bag, and then we just didn't have to pay for drinks. Yeah. In the park. So $13 to $18 for a quick service meal on average, depending on if you're going to get a drink. For children, the quick service is $8. Their meals typically do include a milk or a juice or a water. Per meal for the whole family, you're running around $52, $10 less if you don't have those drinks. At 2 meals per day, your total is about $416. All of this is going to be in our show notes. You know, I'm just kind of giving you, I'm going to run through a lot of numbers here. And then we always want to treat ourselves to a snack once in a while. So you can always bring some in. Yes, even on a budget. Mickey ice cream. So I budgeted 1 per day per person. And that's, about $100, $96 for those 4 days.
That's not bad.
Not bad. So total food cost, looking at that, is about $512. Parking, you need to budget for 4 days, $120. So that's how we got to the $2,698.
And that hotel, is it free parking at the hotel?
Yes, that includes any fees or anything like that. Yeah, the parking's included in you get like a pass. One of my family's go-to resorts off property is the Lake Buena Vista Resort Village and Spa. And we've talked about this. I've mentioned this before. They have multi-room units that the company rents out, but also private owners can own them and rent them out as well. And this is based on a 2-bedroom suite. So there's a king size master bedroom with like a whirlpool tub, and you get your own bathroom. And then there's a second room with 2 double beds, and then another bathroom. It's nice. You know, like, it's not super wonderful furnishings inside or anything like that, but it's really nice to have that space, especially, you know, if you have young kids. You get a living room, dining area, and full kitchen. Yeah. So I budgeted more for groceries here because you can
cook full meals.
Right. Either a lunch or a dinner here. They have a really fun pool too. They have like a pirate ship slide at the pool, and my family's really enjoyed it quite a few times. And they do have a washer and dryer, which is really nice. So groceries here, I budgeted $150 for a breakfast, snack, lunch, or dinner each day. And then 1 quick service meal in the parks, 1 snack each day in the parks. Total food cost here was about $304. Again, that's going to vary depending on if you get drinks with the quick service. Another $120 for parking. So the rooms here were $698.28. That includes the resort fee.
For the full stay.
For the full stay. Uh-huh. It's about $130 a night, plus a property fee or like your resort fee. So the total here is $2,863.28. So the difference between here and the one above is about $200.
Yeah, I was going to say less than $200. That's pretty good when you're getting a 2-bedroom suite.
Right.
Versus just the regular motel room. So, and a full kitchen.
Right. And Airbnb is pretty much on par with this, except that with the Airbnb that I found, it's about $125 a night. You do have kind of those extra Airbnb fees, cleaning fee, things like that.
Sure.
That total was $742. So about $50 more in total than the Lake Buena Vista Resort and Spa. But you get three bedrooms here. Hmm. So if you're having grandparents join you or aunt and uncle.
Built-in babysitters.
Yep, built-in babysitters. And you get three bedrooms. This also has a private pool. So, nice. You know, that's really nice for a family. It is a little bit farther from Disney. It's like a 30-minute drive versus the Lake Buena Vista is maybe 10 minutes closer. You do get, you know, just like the Lake Buena Vista Resort and Spa, you get all the benefits of a full house. I budgeted $150 again for groceries here, thinking that you would do one meal. And then, you know, we had those quick service and snacks, one quick service a day in the parks. So that's total is about $2,916. And it's about $40, $50 more than what you would have done for the resort. But you get that private pool.
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
Yeah. And some of these places have, I think this one did, you can have that private pool, but you also are within a community that has a larger splash pad and resort pool and things like that. So if you want to go and enjoy those larger amenities, you can, but you also have the convenience of your own pool. And then also, like, if the kids are asleep, you can still go and hang out in the pool. And then for the in-resort option, so like the on-property option, the one that I found cheapest that's still available right now is All-Star Sports. So that
I feel like that's always the last to go.
Unless there's teams.
Yeah.
Good
point. Unless there's like a cheer competition or something like that.
So this was a package deal. So room, 4-day package with the quick service dining plan, because looking at costs, this was the most effective. So that's $3,436.64. So it's about $600 more than staying on property. I mean, staying off property at like a full house.
Yeah.
And about $1,000 more, $800 to $1,000 more than just a standard hotel room. But again, here, it's just a standard hotel.
That's
just
true.
A standard hotel room. You've got your two beds. The kids are sharing a bed. I did budget some money for groceries here to save cereal, fruit, some snacks, water, juice boxes. Now in the rooms on property, they just have a beverage cooler.
Mm-hmm.
So I've heard people saying, like, I don't trust milk in those.
Yeah.
So I did have an extra budget for milk. So two low fat milks a day just to put in your cereal for $20. Mm-hmm. So that total budget with groceries and limited groceries and those milks is $3,496.64. So for $3,500 is about the cheapest you're going to get on property, and $2,700 is the cheapest you're going to get off. So, you know, there's other factors you have to consider, like how close do you live to Disney? So are you driving? Are you flying? If you choose to drive, are you going to be able to do it in one day, or do you have to stop and get a hotel room? Then you have your gas fees. If you're flying, are you renting a car? If not, how are you getting from the airport to whatever property you're staying on? And if you're staying off, once you're on property, then you don't have to worry about transportation. Right. If you're staying off property, then you have to figure that out. So it's probably better to rent a car.
Mm-hmm. That's what we like to do.
And then number of family members. I've gone with in-laws and aunts and all of that help share in the lodging costs, especially if you're doing, you know, the larger resort or an Airbnb. And then it's going to vary based on your dates. I couldn't believe the differences, especially on property, of the dates, like park tickets. You know, the package room ranged from $100 a night to $150 a night. Same room.
Mm-hmm. I know. And especially rack rates versus, and also, are these the rates you got at All Stars? Was that a discounted rate or was that rack rates?
Discounted. It was packaged. From what I could see, this 4-day ticket. And they also have a 3-day option too. So if there is
the 3-day, it's about $100. Us to say that the 3-day does not include Magic Kingdom.
No.
Yes. I know. Isn't that wild?
Oh.
So if someone gets the 3-day, they can't go to the main park. They can only go. It's only Animal Kingdom, Epcot, and Hollywood Studios.
And you can't go to two.
You can't go to two. You can't repeat a park.
Right.
So it's like all three of those or nothing.
So if you want to do Magic Kingdom, which everybody has to do, like if you're going to Disney World.
Mm-hmm. I'd feel so weird going without going to Magic Kingdom.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a good deal if you don't care about Magic Kingdom. Yeah.
I was going to say, there's lots of families that I've heard that they're like, I'm not really into Star Wars, so I don't feel Hollywood Studios is worth it, or, you know.
Mm-hmm. But the only one that you can say that about is going to be Magic Kingdom, because they're not allowed to go there on that 3-day pass. On the 4-day pass, you get one park each day.
And you also have to think about, do you want to rest? Are you going to go all day in these parks? And kind of, it's exhausting. Or you just sent me that video.
Yeah, I sent Becky a video about like you going into the park at Disney versus when you come out, and like going in, he's all like fresh and clean and looks so happy and excited and bright eyed and bushy tailed. And coming out, his shirt's all like torn to shreds. And like, he just looks like he's going to pass out. And I'm like, that's relatable.
Uh-huh. You're exhausted at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And especially with young kids, are they going to nap in the stroller? If you're trying to save money and doing a lunch or a dinner at home, how much time is that eating up?
Right. And that's why potentially the Airbnb might not be the best choice, because it's a full half hour. And that's if you add more traffic on top of that or something like that, something happens. That's a full hour out of your day. At
just
least.
For travel.
Just for travel.
2 hours. If you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. There are definitely Airbnbs that are closer, but the closer you get to the park, the more you're going to pay. So there's lots of options out there. It's really assessing what your family's priorities are, how much park time you feel like you need. What groceries do you want to bring in? Do you want to bring in snacks, or do you want to splurge and get some in the parks? And remember, these didn't include any trinkets or souvenirs that your children might want to bring home.
And that is so varied. So it's hard for us to say, like, with an allotment of $20 per person for, you know, like all the souvenirs are so varied in price. And one person's idea of a souvenir vastly differs from another person's idea. So you can get a t-shirt for like $30 or something. You know, it's just so many variables in there.
Yeah, the best things we've done are like asking for Disney gift cards for holidays and birthdays for our kids. And then they can use that for any souvenirs they want in the parks. Also, you can just give them a set budget each day or for the whole trip.
Yeah.
The tough part is, for some souvenirs, once you're in that park, you're not going to see it anywhere else. So, and you only get to go to each park one day.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's something you're willing to buy them, it's hard to say, well, you know, it's our first day. Let's wait and see what happens and what else you might see later on down the road, because you may not be able to go back and get it.
If your child is trying to hold off for the perfect souvenir, but they see something that they really fall in love with, you might not be able to go back and get it. So you might want to snag it while you're there. Unfortunately, that's not the best budgeting tip. But
I know there is a hat that I liked when I was in Hollywood Studios, and it was a Star Wars hat. And I was like, oh, I really, you know, but I want to see what else is out there. And I had to search high and low to find it again. I think I did finally find it in Disney Springs, but I should have just gotten it when I saw it.
I know, it's a like wild goose chase sometimes.
Yeah. So there's also, you know, if you want to do character dining or any of the sit down meals, that's another add on that you have to think about. You can listen to our dining plan episode to try and get the most bang for your buck. If you do stay on property and do the quick service, definitely listen to that episode about the dining plan to get some tips. We also have our character dining episode to learn more about the opportunities for that, if that's something that you want to add on. You don't have to do character dining though to see characters. So there's lots of opportunities to see characters in the park. You can use the Disney My Disney Experience app to see what characters are in each park each day and what the timing is, so you can make sure that you see those. You can ask any of the cast members at the umbrellas stands throughout the park to kind of help you find different locations, because sometimes those character locations are tucked away.
And this also doesn't include So things like Genie Plus and individual lightning lanes. Did we say that already?
Yeah. No, I didn't. Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. So if you are thinking about adding Genie Plus onto it, that could be upwards of an additional $20 to $30 per person per day, depending on which parks you want to do it for, or if you want to do it for all of them. Individual lightning lanes on top of that would be another $20 or so. There's a lot of variables. It can be as cheap as this and as expensive as you want to make it, because the prices add up very quickly. Yeah,
but I think so, it is good for families to know, like, yes, I can give my family Disney for under $3,000.
Yeah,
essentially.
Absolutely. Another trick to see characters without a super long wait in the parks is if you are a Disney Visa card holder, there are photo spots. There's one in Epcot that has usually the classic characters, oftentimes Mickey, Goofy, Minnie, Donald, Daisy, those types of characters, Pluto. And last time we went there, it was Mickey and Goofy, and then they were in their cute 100-year anniversary sparkly get-ups. So that was very fun, and there was literally no wait. We just I showed my Disney Visa at the front, and we walked right in. There were no other families there whatsoever. It's like they were like, thank God someone came.
And they were willing to spend as much time with us as we wanted to stay there, because no one else came in behind us either. I think we were there for a good 15 minutes.
Yeah, we were there for a while. Lionel loved it, and it was so cute.
He tried to leave with Mickey.
Yeah. And I think they all loved it too. It's just like, oh, finally. So take advantage of that. Make good use of that if you are a Disney card holder. Another thing, if you aren't a credit card type, if you don't like having credit cards, if you just have a Chase checking account, you can get a Disney debit card. So not a credit card, a debit card. No impact on your credit score whatsoever. And you can just use that, and they will let you into that comes with all of the perks, basically, that you get with a credit card as well. So if credit cards scare you, if you already have enough or too many of them, if you don't feel that your credit score would allow you to get that credit card, open up a checking account with Chase and get the Disney Visa card, and you'll get just as many perks as the next person.
And with big box stores like BJ's, Costco, Sam's, as well as Target, if you have a Target Red card, which you can do with a credit card or a debit card, you can get 5% off, sometimes more, of Disney gift cards. Just make sure you're buying a Disney Parks gift card and not a Disney Plus gift card. Yeah. There was some confusion when that Disney Plus gift card came out. And you can save 5%, about 5%, sometimes 6%. By using those gift cards. And then you can, you know, if you do $50 a week or $100 a week over time, that builds up, and then you can use those to pay off your trip.
And the other photo spot for Chase card holders is at Hollywood Studios. And that one is a Star Wars themed photo spot. Typically, I believe it's Darth Vader, but I think it varies depending on when and who and where.
That one was busy. I've done that one before. And that
was it.
When we went there, it was busy.
But the one at Epcot never has a line almost.
It's tucked behind too. So whereas the one in Disney Hollywood Studios has other characters there.
Yes.
That people see. So
yeah, it's in like the photo spot for like the rest of the Star Wars characters, right? Yeah, the one in Epcot at the time of recording, they might change it in the future, who knows. They've changed it in the past, but as of right now, it's basically right next to Figment. So if you go back past the land and down to the Figment ride, it's
fun little fountain that kids try to catch the water in.
Yeah, the where the water jumps, and Lionel got soaked last time thanks to Will.
Yes.
Yeah, it's to the left of Figment if you're facing Figment, so right up that hill.
So lots of opportunities to save if you're really on a budget and you're you know, you still want to go to Orlando and experience Disney in some form, you can always do a character meal at one of the hotels. Again, listen to that podcast episode where we review character dining, and then you can like walk around hotels and enjoy that and still get kind of a feel for Disney without paying the park ticket prices. You can ride the monorail, and we've done those things in the past when, you know, we've gone to Orlando for something other than the purpose of the parks.
Yeah, yeah. I can't tell you how many times I've done like a monorail crawl just because I'm like, I miss Disney, but I am not spending money on a ticket right now.
Yeah.
That's always a lot of fun.
Especially if you're, you know, if you're with grandparents and you just need want to escape to someplace warm, your kids want a pool to splash in, because sometimes you pay all that money to go to parks and things like that, and then the kids are just bugging you the whole time to go back and play in the pool. So if your kids really aren't into the rides or anything like that, but you want to give them a taste of it, character meals are a great option.
I'm sure there are other tips and tricks. And if you can think of any, send us an email to magicalstpod@gmail.com. That's magical S as in sisterly, T as in tourists, pod, P-O-D, @gmail.com. And we would love to hear from you. If you noticed any errors in what we said, we would love to correct ourselves. So,
or have other money saving tips for families that you would like to share, we'd love to read those off and share. And we're going to have other episodes. So this was kind of like our bargain episode. How can I do Disney on a bargain? And then we do plan to do other, like we give each other certain budgets and we do the best park plan that we can based on certain budgets. So we'll each of us next time, we could do like a $5,000 budget for one of us and an $8,000 budget for the other.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
Or we could each have the same budget and go head to head and see what we can come up with.
I did something like that for work once, and I literally got within like a penny of my goal.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. I was pretty impressed with myself. It was for a grant, but yeah.
Ooh, even better. And we also plan to do, we have a lot of episodes planned already in the pipeline, but one other, like speaking of budgets, we're thinking of doing like competing and seeing like how much bang for our buck we can get on the dining plan. So
yeah,
we plan to do that too. That'll be coming up as well. Stay tuned. But if you have any suggestions for episodes, anything that you want to learn about, even if it's something that we don't know yet, we love to research and we will do our best and find answers for you. So again, send us an email. I gave you the address already, but if you didn't hear it, it's magicalstpod@gmail.com.
So at the end of our episode, we like to do our magical moments.
That's right. I was avoiding it because I haven't thought of one yet. I had this whole time. You talked the whole time and I couldn't think of one.
So at the end of our podcast, we like to do magical moments. My magical moment this week was we had a work retreat for our team, the team that I'm on at work. And it was something that I planned. We chose Orlando because I have team members that live in the Midwest, and I have a team member in Michigan. I have North Florida, East Coast. So Orlando was a good hub that everyone could get into and out of easily. There were eight of us one night. We rented an Airbnb that had 7 bedrooms and 7 bathrooms. I have a coworker who is in a boot right now, so she got the downstairs bedroom. And this house was in Sonoma Oaks, and it's like a whole community of huge houses. A lot of them are Airbnbs. I saw a lot of different houses on the Airbnb website in that area. $350 a night with 7 people. It had a pool. It had a great outdoor space. And one thing that I liked that people coming to Disney would not necessarily be looking for, but none of the bedrooms were themed and they all had an adult-sized bed in them. So it was like queen nice. Bed was the smallest. There are lots of others to choose from, though, that like that do have themed bedrooms or they have bunk beds and things like that. So I think this place could sleep like 16 people at the most, but there were just seven of us, and even had like a pullout sofa for, we had one other member come and join us for one of the nights. It was a great success. Lots of places that we kind of got takeout from in the area and just hung out at the house the whole time and got so much work done. Lots of planning happened. So it was very successful, and it's very stressful when you're the one planning everything. It all worked out.
Yeah, that's awesome. And such a reasonable rate for such a large house. Multiple families could like rent that together, and that could be part of the whole bargain basement. Yeah. If you're grown-ups with sisters and brothers, with you all have kids and stuff, and you all want to go together and pitch in together, something like that would be so reasonable.
Yeah. I mean, there was also, you know, the Airbnb fee of, I think it was $200. Sure. And then the cleaning fee that was like the equivalent of one night stay. But
there always
even
is.
Mm-hmm. Even with that, mm-hmm. we never could have gotten seven hotel rooms for the price that we paid. I think it was around $2,000 for three nights for all of us.
That's, yeah. And split between three families or something, you know, something like that. That's not bad. All right. So my magical moment, you're going to think is silly because most people probably already know how to do this. But I am in charge of like a lot of the numbers at my work because my manager doesn't like numbers and I love numbers and math and whatever. But she wanted to see things on like a line graph to compare our numbers this year versus last year. And so I was like, you know what? I don't know how to, because she didn't know how to do it either. Yeah. So I don't feel that stupid. But I was like, I don't know how to do that, but I will by the end of tomorrow and I will have the reports for you. And I did. I didn't have enough time that day. I wanted to get them done by the end of the day, but it was already late in the day by the time we were finished our meeting. Yeah. So the next day I went in and figured it out. And within like 5 minutes, I all of a sudden had a new skill. So I was proud of myself for learning how to do that and teaching myself and giving her what she needed. And she was also thrilled. She was like, this is exactly what I wanted. Thank you. Aww. So I was like, hooray.
Did you use YouTube?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had to learn similar skills for Excel when I was getting my degree for nonprofit management, and YouTube is so useful.
Yes. And you know, I used to, in when I was going to school, use Excel, and I had so much more knowledge then, but if you don't use it, you lose it, and things change over the years. It's technology. So I was like, I don't know how to do this anymore. But now I do.
Now you do. So. And now you know how to figure it out if you forget too.
Right. Exactly. I love YouTube.
Yes. Well, that's exciting. And then I tend to be that person too, that like figures it out for other people. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I like learning new things and figuring stuff out that I didn't know before. And it gives me a good feeling like, oh, there's another feather in my cap that I didn't know before, but I know now, and I might not know again next year, but for now, I know it.
For now, you do.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So those are our magical moments this week. Take a moment to think about what magical experience you had this week and that you can reflect on yourself.
Have a good week, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us on this enchanting journey with magical sisterly tourists.
If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe for more travel tips and Disney fun.
And remember, the excitement continues beyond the podcast.
Keep exploring, keep dreaming,
and keep making magical memories.
I'm Becky.
And I'm Lillian, wishing you
a great, big, beautiful tomorrow.